now I'm going to switch over to another vision that I had this last week. And it was Jesus again came. And that's the process for me now. So whatever I'm seeing in the spirit, I bring Jesus into it. And because he's my life. I want him in everything. He took my hand. He says, come with me. And he took me above the earth. And we were looking down on the earth, and I saw all these countries, especially Africa, but a number of countries, including the Philippines, with blazing fires coming off all over those countries. And I said, what is this, Lord? This is the places that I have sent you on fire with me now. My glory is there. Revival is happening. These fires is what I have released in these countries where I have sent you. Wow, God, that's amazing. And then he looked me, it gets me when he looks me straight in the eyes. Looks me straight in the eyes. And, he looked at me and he said, it's because you said yes. All of that happened because you said yes. And then there was like a segue in the vision, and I saw my father, my earthly father, in heaven. And I saw the side of his face, and he was turning towards me, and he was glowing. And he was really happy. And then I saw with him my mother, my sister, and my brother that have all gone on. And they were all there, and they were dancing. And they were saying, go, 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 finish the race, go, 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 finish the race. And my brother, who on earth, he was mentally retarded, they would say. You know, he was slow. And I looked at him, he looked at me, and he said, Antony, he always called me Antony, Antony, an ant and a knee, Antony, go. And it was with such clarity. Oh my. Then he pulled me back into another, then he pulled me back into another vision of a time I was in Zambia, and we finished the conference, pastor's conference, and we're going out in teams and taking all these people out to the streets in the village we were in and going house to house doing miracles and getting people saved. And we went to this one house, and there's a lady outside, and we said, we've come to bring Jesus. We're missionaries. And she said, follow me. Took us inside the house, and grandma was in there, and grandma was in a chair, and grandma couldn't move out of the chair. She couldn't move anything. She was crippled, totally crippled. And sometimes, you know, I'll ask, what is it you'd like God to do for you? When it's really rather obvious. But I just wanted to hear. And the grandmother said, I want to stand, I want to walk, I want to hug. And something happened inside of me. I felt such an intense love for this woman, such an intense compassion, it's a word we're going to get to. Such an intense compassion inside of me for this woman. I didn't really even realize that it was the Holy Spirit releasing his compassion for this person in me, and the effect of that, releasing that compassion, and what it has in the way we pray, how we pray, and the results of what we pray. I didn't know. I couldn't put it all together at the moment. I just knew I felt it. Prayed, and the lady jumped up out of the chair. And she started running around. Jesus said something to me. The Spirit of Jesus, Holy Spirit, said something to me I'll never, ever forget. said this. He says, thank you for letting me touch her. You're thanking me? The Creator God is thanking me for letting him touch this woman. I was blown away. I was blown away. He's the Creator God's thanking me. Thank you, he said. And I just stood there and I started bawling right out on the street. And I just said, everybody says, are you okay? I said, oh, more than okay. More than okay. I can't really explain how okay I am. It's just, I'm really okay. They said, well, that was phenomenal what you did in there. I said, no, time out. I tell you, that was not me. He might have flown through my hand. He would have done it for you if you had been the one there. It was all Jesus. And I didn't, and that's happened to me so many times where now I know it's the compassion of Jesus Christ welling up inside of me when I see situations where people are just a mess. They need help desperately, and they don't know what to do. They've reached the end of their line, and it wells up inside of me. And now I know it's Holy Spirit. It's the compassion of Jesus Christ for these people, for their situations, for their lives. It's pretty dang amazing. I was a logic person. I had to reason everything out. I had to understand it in my head and put two and two together before I could receive it. Some of you are nodding your head. But true knowledge is born, it's born in our spirit by words spoken by the Spirit of Jesus Christ directly to us. But I lived out of that logic. I lived out of reasoning and theology. I lived out of it. And when he put me on the explanation hunt of showing me that he has intense emotions and he's living within me, then one of the first things he did was to show me, let's look up in the Bible the words reason, logic, and theology. Now, how many verses would you think are in there about reason, logic, and theology? Zero. There's only one that's close. There's no command anywhere in the Bible for me to reason about anything. Not a single command in all the Bible for me to reason anything out, to figure anything out. There isn't any. The closest, and we're going to look at the scripture, okay, is Isaiah 1:18. Let's turn there. And what it says is, I'm in a New King James. God speaking says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Ha!
Hello.
The only place in all the Bible that mentions that we should have anything to figure out ourselves or reason out ourselves is this scripture. It's the closest to it. And what does he say? He says, come now. Okay, he's telling us, come now. Okay, let us reason together, says the Lord. Okay, it's amazing to me. You know how much we've been talking about using the eyes of our heart and seeing through the eyes of our heart, right? And God speaks a lot through pictures, dreams, visions. He speaks a lot through pictures. You know how we're talking about that? Okay, so what does he do? Come now and let us reason together. And immediately, what does he do? He says, though your sins are like scarlet, okay, you picturing it? He wants the reader to picture it. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Ah, though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. When God reasons with us, he goes right into picturing. this has been big for me. I want it to become big for you. We got to get out of this and into the heart. When God begins to reason with us, and now would you agree that we need, if we're going to reason, we need God to reason with us because we need his reasoning, not our reasoning. Amen. Okay? What's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. But in all your ways, what? Acknowledge him. Recognize him. You're here with me. You're in me. Hallelujah. I trust you to help me in the reasoning process. I don't want to enter in the reasoning process without you being in the middle of it and directing my thoughts. Because there's only one reasoning out that I ever want to have, and it's what's in your heart because you got the best for me. Yeah. So we acknowledge him and not us and not our smarts. That's Amazim. That's what they say in South Africa that for the word amazing. They say Amazing, Amazing. How many times have we heard that? Amazing, whoa, Amazing. It's catchy. Amazing. That was South African with an Italian accent. Yeah. Let's just think for a moment how God thinks. When we have something going on in our life, what's the first thing? Okay, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. And I haven't always done this. But I'm starting to get it. How long have I been doing this? I'm starting to get it. Okay, the first thing is that I ask the Holy Spirit to give me his insight on this thing that I'm pondering, on this issue that's in my life, on this thing that I'm trying to figure out. Stop trying to figure it out first, okay? Now step back and say, okay, Holy Spirit, give me your insight from heaven's perspective, from the eternal one's understanding of my life. Give me your insight into what I'm thinking here, into what's going on here. I want your insight. Okay, ask him. We have not because we ask not. Okay, well, there's only one you could ever ask that's going to give you right answers. Not yourself. Yourself's going to give you self answers. It's going to be him. It's going to be him. And the second thing is, I see him with me. I see Jesus, not only in me, but with me. Whatever I'm in the midst of, he's right there with me. I see him. Picture him. Okay. It begins to help me. Okay. Now, while I'm doing that, I have thoughts going on in my head. I'm waiting for the spontaneous flow of the thoughts of the Holy Spirit. This is how it works. It's not always instant. In fact, sometimes it's a little while, okay? I'm waiting for his flow to begin to flood into my thinking process. Then his thoughts are not something that I think up. It just happens. It's spontaneous. It just begins to get injected into my thinking. It's the Spirit of God and how he operates. He just flows. He just flows. Okay? Well, one minute you're on the bank of the river. The next minute you're in the river and you're being carried downstream. And I tell you this. You say, well, I don't know when that's going to happen. I'm telling you, you will know. You will absolutely, positively know when he begins to move. Because he talks different than we do. He thinks different than we do. And when he speaks, it's always for our good. It's always to encourage us and build us up and edify us and make us stronger and to wipe the garbage of the world and the flesh and the devil off of us. When he speaks, that's what happens. As you sense that's beginning to happen, God's talking, he's talking, whoosh, stuff's going. The problem you entered into, your thought life, and you entered into with that is just suddenly like gone. It's like you're not even thinking about it now. Because the spontaneous flow of the Spirit of God is flooding through your thoughts and now taking over, and we're yielding to Him.
Yeah.
And then the last thing for me is to just allow this Holy Spirit river to flood my thoughts and to guide my reasoning. Take the wrong reasoning away. Just let it go. I'll forget about it. I don't even need to remember it. But to guide my reasoning, the things that I'm trying to figure out, to guide it where He wants it to go. No, this all happens by His grace. We don't work it up. We don't work it up. We don't deserve for it to happen. We believe He wants that. But it's very simple and very effective. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Now, I took that to mean, because this is what they were pushing, was we need to study the Scriptures, because by studying the Scriptures, we're going to show ourselves approved to God. And man, was I off base. And I was off base for a lot of years. Thinking that just because I'm studying, just because I'm learning the root meaning of all these things, and you know, because I'm learning more Scriptures and memorizing more Scriptures and filling my head with more Scriptures, that just because of that, that now I'm pleasing to God. The moment I was born again, I became pleasing to God. Because He created me a spirit man. Yeah. Well, I did a study, and that word study, I studied out the word study. That word study is 12 times mentioned in the New Testament. And the other 11 times don't say study. It says be diligent. And only this one time in a number of different versions, and it happened to be the version that I had, so I thought I was supposed to study. Okay. I'm not saying studying is wrong, but if you're doing it here and not by studying out the revelation that He's giving you, then you're going to get messed up. Watch. Go ahead. Put it up, Harvey. In the New King James, 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that mean? God, I can't do anything without You. I can't even get myself out of bed in the morning without You. I can't feed myself without You. There's nothing I can do without You. And I'm presenting myself, all that I am, all that I ever hope to be. And I'm going to be diligent to keep presenting, to keep trusting, to keep depending upon You, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus who's living within me. I'm going to be diligent to keep trusting, to keep my faith in You and in You alone. That's what I'm going to be diligent to. I'm not going to be diligent. I'm not going to study to get my brain blown up. I'm going to be diligent to trust You, diligent to give every scripture that I read into Your hands, to feed it back to me the way You wrote it, with Your heart intention, with you, the meaning of what you had in your heart when you had that written. I'm going to be diligent to keep leaning into You and pressing into You. I'm going to be diligent to keep every day how I'm yielded. I surrender my body. I surrender my heart. I surrender everything to You, Lord. I'm going to be diligent to do that. That's the real meaning of this. But what it did to me was for years, because I was a logical person, because I was a person who had to figure everything out, and I could study things out, and you know, I could do engineering. Hey, if I could do engineering, I could do anything. Right. Except the things of God. It's pre-engineered. It's pre-figured out, and it's all in Jesus. Wow. Second. Is that understandable? So that was for years my driving scripture. to study, to show myself, like the more I studied, the more I learned, and I would like somehow become more presentable to God. That's craziness. Yeah, for years I memorized the scripture every day, and I had cards made up, stacks and stacks of them. And I had them stuck all over the inside of my vehicle as I drove around so that I could constantly have before my eyes. He just wanted me to have him before my eyes. But I missed it. Yeah, you don't need to have regrets, okay, because God uses everything in our life, everything. And what I've discovered is, because I asked him as a young Christian, why did I have to go through all that stuff, God? I mean, why did I have to have so many problems in my life? Why did I have to get involved in all that carnal, fleshly stuff? Why, God? And he says, because you can experience my compassion. You can experience my forgiveness. You can experience my deliverance. And now you're going to be able to do the same to so many others, because people are going to ask you, what do you know about what I'm going through? How many of you have had a pretty rough background? Okay, do you know what? Because you've been redeemed. You've been set free and delivered from all of that. You've been made into a new creation. That's not who you are anymore. Not in any way, shape, or form is that who you are anymore. But now you can relate to people when they say, what do you know about drugs, huh? You probably never took a drug in your life. Really? What do you know about being an alcoholic? What do you know about that, huh? I was right up to the top as far as that goes. I'll tell you what I know, and I'll tell you what I found out, the effects of that, and what it does to you. And I'll tell you how great it is to be delivered from it, because I was in it. And it's one thing after another after another. What do you know about sickness? Well, man, by the time I was 18, I probably had five or six major diseases. Plus, I spent half of my senior year in high school in the hospital. They're trying to keep me alive. What do I know? Okay. Why did I go through all of that? Why did I have to have all that? I can relate to a lot of people. And every single thing that you've been through, everything you've been through, is so that you can bless someone with saying, I understand. I understand what you're going through. I do understand. Let me share with you the compassionate love of Jesus that he had on me. I want to give it to you. That's exactly it. That crazy verse. It's not crazy. There's no verse that's crazy. Okay. That verse that says study. Okay. That God didn't mean study like we think study. That was my favorite verse for a lot of years. When I began to realize the error I made, he gave me a new favorite verse at that time. Now it's just one of many favorite verses, but I'm going to tell you what that is. Let's look at it. Luke chapter 24. Let's look at the Amplified. Luke chapter 24, verse 32. Luke 24, 32. And they said to one another, these are the two disciples that were on the Emmaus Road, that they met up with Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus. He didn't reveal to them that it was him until later. And it says in verse 32, and they said to one another, were not our hearts greatly moved and burning within us while he was talking to us on the road? And as he opened and explained to us the sense of the scriptures. Do you think he's any different today? When we open the scriptures, our hearts should burn when he's speaking. We should be lit up on the inside when he's speaking. When we're reading his word. If we're not, he's not speaking. Okay? It doesn't mean it's not his word. It just means that scripture, he's not speaking to you, right? But this scripture took over, because his voice is like there is no other voice in the world. There is no other voice that's like his voice. It's like, remember when Peter and the disciples were in the boat and the storm was going, it was a hurricane, and Jesus is out there walking on the top of the waves, and Peter said to them, now these guys, they were freaking in the boat. Okay, I mean they were scared, and they thought he was a ghost. And then he says it's me, and Peter says, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come. He said, it is I, come. What was he waiting for? He was waiting to hear words that came with the life that comes when Jesus speaks. Because he was used to listening to Jesus speak, and it was powerful, and it was riveting. It was like, probably every word Jesus is talking, they're going, just amazed at, because his words carried such weight. And they say, wow, you speak as one who has such authority. When you speak, it's so powerful, because Jesus said, my words, they are spirit. They are Holy Spirit, and they are life. The Spirit of God rides on the words of Jesus. He's still doing that today.
Yes.
He's not stopped. So I'm looking for that voice. I'm looking for him to speak where the Spirit of God is riding on those words, and it's riveting on the inside of me. I know this is you, God. It's what he wants to do. It's what he wants to do. Now listen, he doesn't just speak with words. This is one of the things we've been talking about the last weeks. He doesn't just speak with words. He speaks with visions. He speaks with dreams. He speaks with feelings. He speaks with compassion released in your heart. He speaks with love. God is love. Look at. That sounded like me. Whoa, man. First Corinthians chapter 2. You ever go into 2 Corinthians looking for first and can't find the scripture? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to read from 9 to 16. This is a long section, okay? We're going to read this, and then we're going to, I'm going to give you these couple scriptures that he gave me that whacked me. That's my prayer, you get whacked. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart. I'm in the Amplified. Are you? Yes, you are. What the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, all that he has made and keeps ready. Where are we? All that God has prepared, and in parentheses it says, made and keeps ready. God has already made and keeps in the ready to release mode everything in the spirit realm that you're ever going to need. He's already made it. He's already made it, and he keeps it ready. What's it ready for? For you to need it and see you need it and turn to him so he can release it. There's no more begging. There's no more begging. That's you're not a child without food. You have all the food that you need. Yeah, you have everything that you need. I love this. He made and keeps ready for those who love him. Watch this. Who hold him in affectionate reverence. Who hold him in affectionate reverence. Affectionate. What does affectionate mean to you? Do you think feelings are involved in that? He holds you in affectionate reverence. Now, if God's writing
I'm holding you in affectionate. My affection is all over for you.
How big do you think that is? We've received affection from some people on earth in the course of our life, right? Multiply it 20 billion times. Is that enough? That big enough? Affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing it. And here's another big thing. Okay, gratefully recognizing, being thankful the benefits he has already bestowed. Being grateful. I'm grateful, Lord. It's everything I'm ever going to need. You've already given it. And the moment I get to that day, that moment that I need something, I can just look to you. And you'll give it to me. And you release it. How important is beholding the Lord? How important is putting the gaze of our heart, the eyes of our heart onto him? How important is it? We may think, okay, with the things that I'm seeing, they don't make a whole lot of sense. That's okay. That's because you're still trying to figure it out with your head. They will. Write it down. I've gone back to things I didn't understand, visions that I've got, dreams I got I didn't understand. I've gone back and looked at them later on as I have grown into my relationship with the Lord. And I say, oh, yeah, that's what you were saying. Try to figure it out. Verse 10, yet to us God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Spirit, for the Holy Spirit searches diligently. See, he wants us to be diligent. He's diligent. Exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. The Holy Spirit goes deep into the heart of the Father. You'll never get to the bottom of how deep the heart of our Father is. The Holy Spirit sends out soundings. What is that? It's like sonar. It's like, you know, they send out little pings, bing, and when they hear something back, bing, that means it hit something. So the Holy Spirit sending out sounds into the heart of the Father concerning you and what the Father's thinking about you right now. So he can bing, get it, and boom, give it back to you. I mean, that's blasted amazing. You know, I love people, and I love people sharing and hearing what they have to say about me. But I love more hearing him and what he has to say about me. Because there's no ulterior motive with him. There's no trying to figure out what's he really after. What does he really want? No, you don't ever have to go there, because all he wants is to bless you. He just wants to bless you. For what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts except the man's own spirit within him? Just so no one discerns, comes to know, and comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. How important is it that we commune with him? Now, we have not received the spirit that belongs to the world. Hallelujah! We don't have that spirit anymore. That spirit's been crucified, dead, gone. We don't have the spirit that belongs to the world. We have a new spirit that belongs to God. Wow. But the Holy Spirit, who is from God, given to us, thank you, that we might realize. Getting ahead of me. Given to us that, okay, he's going to tell us why we've been given the Holy Spirit, that we might realize. He wants us to realize something. What does it mean to realize? Something that we couldn't see before has now just become very real to us. Something that was invisible but made available to us that we couldn't see has now just become real and available. That we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. man, you know, you could take that, you could take any of these scriptures right here and just drink on them all day long. Oh God. Verse 13, and we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit. This is what I'm talking about. I don't want to give you or anyone else words that are taught by my own understanding, but wisdom taught by the Holy Spirit. Combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language. Okay, what is he saying? Combining spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. Spiritual language. There's lots of ways he can speak to us. It's not just hearing him on the inside. He's way huger than that. In fact, I've discovered he loves to speak to us in pictures. He loves to speak to us in dreams and visions because it draws us in to spend more time with him, because it draws us near to him. I got to hang out with you for a while, Lord. I don't have a clue what you're saying here, but I want to know because I know it's good. And he loves that. Well, bottom line is he just wants us to sit with him, to have communion with him, to love on him, to feel him. You say, feel him? Yes, feel him. How real he is. But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. We can be born again and not accept what he's trying to do. And at that moment be non-spiritual. We're just not, it's all there for us. He's there for us. But we'll get to enjoy any of it because we don't really believe God does that stuff with me. But he does. Every one of us. He does. You know, we ought to just get dang diligent, dang persistent. And say, you know what? It's become clear to me, Holy Spirit, that there's a whole lot I haven't experienced yet. There's a whole lot in our relationship that can be expanded and grown way bigger than it is right now. I'm not settling for where I'm at. I'm not settling for it. No. No. Because you put in my heart the understanding that you've got so much more to reveal to me, to show me, to take me into. I want it. I want all of you. I want to drink you. I want to eat you. I want to eat everything that you put out. I just want to chew on whatever it is you're thinking. But the spiritual man tries all things. He examines, investigates, inquires into questions, and discerns all things, yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. You see that? When we begin to enter into that place, that there's nobody going to be able to figure you out. You're going to become like the wind. I don't know what direction this lady's coming from. Man, she's like all over the place. Well, yeah. Which one of us can tell which direction the wind's going to blow next? The Spirit moves in ways that will confound your mind on purpose. And other people looking at you as we begin to flow with the Holy Spirit, as other people looking at us, they're going to be moved to think, who is this lady? Who are you? I mean, things are coming out of your mouth that's just like, how could she know that? And I'm feeling something come off of this lady. I'm feeling something come off of this man. What is that? I feel love I've never felt before. You don't even know me. What is this I'm feeling? And somebody may be struggling with not being accepted, and they put down, they look down on themselves, and they think little of themselves. But when you show up, all of a sudden they feel like, I'm valuable. I'm valuable. I have worth. Value, and you're not even opening your mouth because it's the Spirit in you that's speaking without words. He's releasing without your words. Oh, he's got words, he's speaking, but he's got a lot of ways to do it. lot of ways to do it. By no one he can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or appraise or get an insight into you. Huh? I love it when people can't figure me out. Like, I don't get it, man. You just took everything you had and you just gave it away? Did you know that person? What does that matter? It doesn't matter. With God, it doesn't matter. He's going to have us do things that are going to be past finding out. You know, when I first on my heart to go to all these nations that we're going to, and we're not done yet. The thought came, of course, where do you expect to get the money to do this? Do you have any idea? I said, yeah, I have an idea. How much it's going to cost to do this? You got to pay for everything over there, you know? You got to pay for all the conference, feed all these guys that we have nothing. Where's that going to come from? My response this trip around was, that's the enemy. That's not my concern. My concern is to be obedient and faithful to what he put on my heart. Now he showed me these people who were crying out for somebody to come. Why is he showing me that? Because he's offering me a door to step through to bring him to these people. And you know, when you do that, whatever it is, it could be across the street, doesn't have to be across the world. Whenever you do that, something happens with those things you perceived as needs in your life. The flood of the Spirit of God begins to come into those things and begins meeting them and satisfying them in supernatural ways. Verse 16, For who has known or understood the mind, the counsels, the purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him? Can we ever think we can guide and instruct the Lord? Huh? And give him knowledge like he needs knowledge from us? But
the old man.
But we have the mind of Christ and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. We have the mind of Christ. Now we're going to get it. We have it. And we do hold the thoughts. Get the first word. Feelings. Feelings. You have no idea how much I had to repent for setting aside the feelings that I was having. Saying, no, I just live by faith. I don't live by feelings. I live by faith. I'm a man of faith, not a man of feeling. Until I had that Sunday, and the Holy Spirit checked me. He said, now I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you. And it began to remind me of all these times that these feelings rose up inside of me, feelings of compassion and love for people and situations. And the miracles just flooded as a result of that. If I were to ask you to define faith and define love, how would you do it? When I was a young Christian, I would say faith is, I've got the book, I've got the word, I have faith that that's his word, and I have to live by it. I have faith that if I do his word, he will do. My faith was in the word. I didn't really realize that Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. He is the Word. He's the way. And he's the truth. And he's our life. And how what did I think about love? Well, maybe you were trying to figure that out many years ago when I was, and this teaching was going around, love is a decision. Love is not a feeling, love is a decision. Well, there's a decision involved. You make the decision one time. I yield to you. I give you everything. It all belongs to you. There's a decision. Okay? You don't need to do that again. If you do it, you mean it, then you belong to him. So, what is love? He's love. Love can not only be grieved, but love has intense feelings of joy and peace and ecstasy and wonder and awe and beauty. Love has intense, intense feelings. Love is related to compassion, and compassion has the heart of God for people that are standing in front of you. It's not just, I'll tell you how big it is, okay? The word compassion that's used in the Gospels about Jesus was not, before they wrote, they couldn't use that word because it was a noun. Compassion was a noun. It's just something that someone did. They helped someone. It was compassion. It was a noun. And they said, the disciples said, how do we describe the intensity of Jesus? How do we describe the intensity of his love for people? We watched it. We saw him. But how do we describe that? We need a word to describe that. And they took that word compassion and they made it a verb to explain the depths of the feeling that Jesus had when he ministered to people. And he spoke to them and he related to them. It's not, God doesn't want us to be like a robot. He doesn't want us to be perfunctory and just go around, you know, just passing stuff out because we were told to. He wants us to realize it's him. And that he wants to be the one doing it. Look at this, Galatians chapter 5. Verse 6. And he showed me, when he took me on this process here, he showed me again and again and again and again. He said, really, son, healing, transformation, miracles, they occur when three things. He said, I can always come on you. I can come on anyone and do things. But the way that I want to do it is this way. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 says, for if we are in Christ Jesus, are we in Christ?
Yes.
Everybody in Christ?
Yes.
Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. What is he saying? Either whether you do something or don't do something doesn't count. Whatever you pick anything out. Well, if I do this, God's going to bless me. If I do this, I don't do this, God will bless me. If I don't do that. No, he says that counts for nothing. This is big. But only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. He started us out up here. We all got dropped into this funnel. And this morning we've been spinning around the funnel. And we're coming to the place where we're going to get shot out the bottom. And it's a small spot we're going to get shot out. But we're going to get shot out the bottom understanding that God doesn't need all this stuff. He just needs, right here, faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Wow. So he said all these things that I want to have happen, they're going to happen by faith, getting energized by the Holy Spirit, with a flow of my love. What is faith? It's him. It's an outflow the Spirit of God in us. Don't think that faith is just something you have and you do something with. No, no, no. Faith is him. He gives you his faith. The Spirit of God releases his faith within you. He does it. It's all by grace. As soon as we start thinking we got to do something or something happened because of something is happening because of what we're doing, we missed it. Faith is him. It's an outflow of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Wow. activated and energized. Okay, what does that mean? That word is energo, which means it's by the energy, the power of the Holy Spirit and Him only. Working through love. And then He began to show me, all right, let me show you now. Love has lots of affection in it. It has lots of emotion in it. How many of you guys, if you're married, you can show your wife love with zero affection? When is it most effective? Ladies, when is it most effective? When there's some affection, right? When there's some emotion involved. When there's some feeling involved, right? That's when it's most effective. Okay, you can do something, you can say something, but for it to be effective, energized, powerful, working through love. Okay. Look at Matthew chapter 14. We're going to take a look at Jesus. Look at this. When He went ashore and saw a great throng of people, what does it say? He had compassion, pity, and deep sympathy. What was previous to them getting cured? Compassion. The compassion of Jesus, the compassion of God. Was previous, was it? And He showed me that, and it started hitting. All those times I felt compassion in my heart for the person or situation that was in front of me, and I didn't understand what was going on. I just thought I was being emotional. But it was Him. I was feeling what He was feeling, and I could see it. Jesus going there, looking at all those people, and the disciples are all around Him, and they're looking at Jesus, and Jesus is going, oh. Feeling their lostness, feeling their pain, feeling their hurt, feeling it, feeling the difficulties in their life. Oh, Father, thank you. I can guarantee you will see an increase in the miraculous. You will see an increase in the transformation of your own life. You will see an increase in the kingdom of heaven breaking into your life. You will see an increase. You allow the Holy Spirit to release His feelings, to release His compassion, to release the love of Jesus Christ in and through you. Allow Him to do it. Tell Him, I want you to do it. I need you to do it. And as I look at Scripture, I see that again and again and again, it was welling up inside of Jesus over and over and over again was the compassion and the love that He has for people. And that's what drove the miracle. That's what released the power. That's what the Holy Spirit wrote on that. So I think the best thing that we can do is just to repent. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. For placing second or third or even farther down on the list. Feelings that I have to love people and the feelings that I have of compassion and feeling their pain, God, thinking, no, that's not right. No, that's the entrance way that He's given you into the miracle. Last scripture, Romans 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of getting the food and drinking what you like, but instead, the kingdom of God, it is righteousness, that state which makes a person acceptable to God, makes us acceptable. Now watch this. And heart peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He gives us three things. He describes the kingdom of God. Two out of the three can be felt. Two out of the three should be felt. Peace should be felt. The joy should be felt. And he's describing the kingdom of God this way. Righteous, I've made you righteous. You're seated with Jesus. You're acceptable to me now. No matter how much you mess up, you can keep coming back because I've made you acceptable. You're my son. I'll wash you off. Just come back. You've got the righteousness of Jesus, okay? That's awesome to have that, okay? That's something I know. But the next door is something I can feel and experience. And he's saying, this is the kingdom. It's peace. Very real. Not something, oh, yeah, I have the peace of God. I know that in my head. No, no. Very real. We are very real experiencing. When all the hell's breaking loose around you, that on the inside it's like, yes, you got it. That you're just laying down in front of the throne in the crystal sea of glass. It's as still and calm as can be. And nothing's bothering you. You can experience that and feel that because the Holy Spirit's feeling it. And the joy. The joy. Peter said that inexpressible and glorious joy. I can't express it. He's saying, I can't express it. I can't express it. I got no words. I got no words. For this joy that overcomes me in the midst of my tribulations, the joy of God that overwhelms me, I can't explain it. It's not explainable. But it's to be felt. Don't resist it. Don't resist it. Thank you.